Blog Talk Radio.
I guess nobody told you that I'm Mud Dea. Mud to the damn D-E-A.
But when I come back up in here, you know what's going to happen?
We're going to taste the rest.
Get ready. It's time for your weekly dose of unembellished banter. 1.5 hour of music, politics, and news. Real, raw, intoxicating. This show is definitely not for the weak. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello.
Now, here's Valerie.
All right, guys. Welcome. Happy Tuesday. I hope you're having a great day and you are preparing for a beautiful weekend. It is a beautiful day here in North Carolina, and the sky is so bright. I wish I could go outside, but I'd rather be here with you because we got a great show for you today. Man, this is one of those shows that I definitely want you to share on your social media. Please tell a friend who will tell a friend about today's show. We got a really, guy with lots of energy, big spirit. Also, I just want to tell you, be mindful of what pictures you post of him. We'll get into that during the show. That was just a little inside joke because I know he's listening. But yeah, man, thank you so much to the people who have tuned in via the chat room and the conversations we have on social media, posts and pre-show. We appreciate you guys so much for supporting us via the promotions, because we definitely want to get the word out. We're going to do what we got to do, to support the Bay Area. Also, big ups to Jeff Kwan, BTP Media, who is always sending us all these wonderful people. So big ups to him. Shout out to him. And yeah, man, we got a great show and I'm excited. 929-477-1167, 929-477-1167. And as my intro stated, I am Valerie Denise Jones. So what I'm going to do at this time is go on and bring in the co-host, but I have to do it the right way. So here we go.
Welcome back, Commander.
What? You got a prescription for this?
Yeah.
Where is that? Where is that?
It's
where?
I
take your ass, dear. You know that?
What?
Look at this.
That's not my cigarette,
man. This cigarette weed.
Well, it looks like a cigarette.
Smoke weed every day.
Oh, that's hot. That's hot.
All right. And here's Todd. Hey. Welcome. Philo the Great. How are you today, sir?
Hey, what's good? How are you, Valerie? How's the loved ones out there? I hope everyone is having a great day. I'm excited to be here, as always, ready to get my cool mode on and go to work. Work. What we doing,
All right. Yeah, you sound really chill. So how's the weather over there in Tennessee? Good? I feel blessed here in Carolina.
Yeah, the weather is great. It's not too hot. Probably a good 85 degrees outside. Lovely.
Yeah. All right. So I guess, time is flying. It's already 3 minutes after. So what I want to do at this time is go on and open up the guest mic, because I have a question for him, something that's definitely going to set the tone for today's interview. Welcome, 818-917, 818-917. Welcome to the show. We appreciate you so much for stopping by. How are you?
Are you talking to me?
I am. Yes,
oh.
I am.
Hey, I had a quick question. In the beginning of your show,
uh-huh.
Who's that guy's voice, in the beginning? Because I'm just wondering, in real life, does he talk like that? Like, hey, Valerie, how are you?
Who's that? Wait, I don't know who you're talking about. I thought you were talking about Mud Dea, Tyler Perry.
No. In the intro, and then he does your promo spots, and then he goes, 5, 4, 3, two, one.
Yeah, that's just a DJ that guy. Don't pick on my friend. What's wrong with you?
No, I'm just wondering, does he really talk like that in real life? Like, hey,
no,
how
he
you
doesn't.
Doing?
I think that his sexual chocolate DJ voice. I don't know.
What?
But yeah,
you
that,
sound
that's
good.
My DJ guy. Don't try to clean it up.
No, you know, you should sound like that too, Valerie, because when he talks
I
and then all of a sudden,
like
no, nah, because listen, when he talks and then you come on like, well, hello there, it's 85 degrees, how are you? It's like, what happened? The volume of the show just went way down. That's okay. I'm going to bring it back up, okay?
Yeah, you know what? And I actually have something to bring the energy up.
Oh, what you got?
Check this out and tell me why I played this clip. Hold on just a second.
Okay.
All right, so name that tune. Where? That's the music.
Okay. I was on The Price is Right. Is that the one? Oh, my
That's
gosh.
That's it. You win a prize. Now, speaking of
but
prize,
but you know what?
Did you win a prize?
I won three. Yeah, I did. I actually won, and they didn't show it on there, but I actually won, I think, $600. And, it took like 3 months before I got it. But I won $600. That's cool.
Oh,
right?
Well,
all I did
dang.
Was,
no, it is. It's actually cool because I thought you were going to say you went on the air because I know you're an actor. So I had this soundbite already for you. Like, you know. Like, no, I was
a
day player.
Nah.
You know.
Wrong
but
sound
effect. Good job. $600.
Yeah,
that's
you.
Nice. Shoot, that'll feed a large family in North Carolina.
I could have won a house, a mobile home, a trip around the world in my own airplane, but I didn't win that. So $600 will work.
Oh, what a blessing. Well, kudos to you. Kudos to you, definitely. Did they call you DJ Nasty Ness on? I saw your name tag had this Ness on it. But yeah,
yeah,
no, curious. Tell us about your experience.
They didn't allow the nasty parts. So they just so I used my real name, which is Ness Rodriguez, and I just stuck with that. I went on there as Ness, not Nasty Ness, but it was fun. And you know how you get on that show? You get in a long line, and a guy from CBS interviews every person on the line, and then he looks at their personality, and everyone in my group they go. They're going to pick you. I said, why do you say that? Because you just got that personality and energy. Watch, they're going to pick you. So I said, nah, they're not going to pick me. So you don't know if you're going to get picked until you're sitting down in the audience and the show starts. Then all of a sudden I hear, Ness Rodriguez, come on now. I was like, oh, my God, they picked me.
Wait a minute. Your last name is Rodriguez. And you're Filipino.
Yeah.
How
well, you know,
work?
all Filipinos have Spanish blood in them. It goes back in the days where this guy named Magellan, he came and raided our country. He beat us up. And him and his Spanish friends had sex with a lot of the Filipino women on our island. And then I was born. So, yeah. If you notice, a lot of Filipinos have a Spanish last name. And in our dialect, which is Tagalog, there's a lot of Spanish in that dialect, too. So, yeah. There you go.
Now, Philip has a question for you because I sent him your photos, and he had a very specific question regarding one of your photos. So I'd like for him at this time to go on and ask you the question that he posed to me.
Okay.
Right. So, DJ Nasty Ness, I noticed a tattoo, like you had a tattoo on your forearm, right, that says Pinoy Pride. And am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah. Pinoy means Filipino. And, you know, I'm just proud to be Filipino. You know, growing up, I really wasn't, not that I wasn't proud of my race, but I really wasn't too familiar with my race. I grew up in the black community. A majority of my friends were brothers. And it wasn't until my mom passed away where every time I ate Filipino food, it would remind me of my mom. And then I was like, wow, you know, I think I need to learn more about my culture. And so this guy that was in jail, he had his tattoo. He said, you know what you should do is tattoo Pinoy on one arm and Pride on the other arm. And then when you flex it together and take a picture, it'll say Pinoy Pride. And I said, okay, I'll try that. But, man, I didn't know tattoos hurt. So I went through extreme pain to have that tattooed on my arms. And that's what it stands for. So I'm just, you know, being in hip-hop, too, you know, I was like one of the very first Asians. One of the very first Asians in hip-hop. I started back in 1980. And at that time, I think maybe a couple years later, a guy by the name of Fresh Kid Ice, who's from the Two Life Crew, came out. And he's Chinese. They call him the Chinaman. And I remember back in those days, you know, when people would say we all look alike. Well, they would, when I traveled on tour, they would think I was Fresh Kid Ice. And then when they saw him, they thought he was Nasty Ness. And, yeah, so we kind of lived in each other's shadow. But unfortunately, he passed away maybe about a year ago, a year or two ago. But, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I first learned of him. I think JT Money was good friends with him. And I think that's when I first heard, the Chinaman's name. And they had his funeral rather quickly, I think, because I remember one day he told me he was dead, and then he was like, oh, I'm on my way to the funeral. And I was like, gosh, I thought he just died. But, it was a very quick process.
And, you know, that group, the Two Live Crew, really put that Miami bass sound, along with my friend, another good friend of mine, Magic Mike, too, but Two Live Crew really brought it to the mainstream, you know. And, man, what they did with their music, it's because of them where they put the warning signs on records, the explicit lyrics, the warning signs. And, they just took it to another level in hip-hop, you know. And I love that sound, the Miami bass sound.
Yeah, I'm from Miami. I'm glad you brought that up. So big ups to my people over, you know, way, way, way deep down in the bottom.
Big shout
out to you guys. Yeah. But yeah, big shout out because I'm really super uber interested in hearing about Sir Mix-a-Lot, NWA. I want to hear about the hip-hop show, Bruce Lee, the High Children, like so much. So what I'm going to do, because again, I'm way out of my league at this point, and I want to make sure this interview is done right. So I will see you at the end of this interview, where we shall talk about the High Children, and then it'll give me a chance to play their song. I think the title of the song is Throwback, right? I know the video. I watched it.
Yeah, Throwback.
Full of energy. Yes. I love that. And you guys had the timing. It was almost it was impeccable how you were able to sync it. So I was very, very impressed.
Yeah. So does that mean you're gonna leave and come back later? Is that what you said?
Stop telling all my secrets today.
Well, no, I'm just wondering because if you are, you better super uber come back.
I am going to come back. Yeah, no. Listen, what we do is we flip because, see, I know my limits. You ever heard a term called, they say stay in your lane, right?
Right.
So
right.
I just stay in my lane. I know my limits because Philo is music all day, every day. You know what I mean? Like me.
Okay, yeah.
Let me get you started so I can get him warm up. I want me, the philosophical person, I love to get in your head. So I be wanting to know, like, all the juice. Like, tell me how you met NWA and what y'all did on the tour bus, you know. And then based on, you know, today, because Jay-Z came out and they said he's the first billionaire of hip-hop. And everybody was under the impression that that was Dr. Dre. So I would want to know, hey, you know what? How do you feel about that? You know what I'm saying? So that would be me getting my little Barbara Walters on.
Okay.
So let's start there. So how did you meet NWA? And then I'll let Philo come in and and fill in the gaps and bring us, you know, from then to present.
How I met Dr. Dre, well, gosh, back in the days when we were, meaning Sir Mix-a-Lot, we would go to L.A. all the time, and I knew Arabian Prince really well, and I knew Lonzo. This is before N.W.A. So what happened was they were the world-class wrecking crew. This is before N.W.A. And I was playing their records on my radio show at the time on Seattle's 1250 K-Fox. And we ended up on tour, the only two West Coast groups on the Fresh Fest tour in London. So it was a world-class wrecking crew, Sir Mix-a-Lot, and everyone else was all East Coast, you know, Flash, the Bottle, all those big East Coast groups. So it's kind of weird being on the airplane and no one would speak to us. And we didn't speak to them either because it was like East Coast, West Coast. But it was an experience. I remember sitting in the back of the plane with Jerry Heller, Eazy-E's manager, kicking it with Arabian Prince, Dr. Dre, Shakespeare, and who was the girl? I think it was either the girl, Michelle A, was on there. Anyway, that's how it first started, was that the relationship started on that trip. And we went to London together. We connected at John F. Kennedy Airport in New York, took a 747 to London. And that's something I'll never forget. And you got to remember, this is like 1984, maybe. It was a really, really, really early era of hip-hop. And from that on, you know, I continued to play the world-class Wrecking Crew's music on my radio show. And then Arabian Prince hit me up and goes, "Hey, man, we're going to restart this new group called NWA. And then I said, "What does it stand for?" And then he told me what it stood for. And I go, "Man, I can't say that on the radio." He goes, no, just say NWA. And so he gave me the a test pressing on vinyl. And he goes, "Play what you want, but you're going to have to edit the songs yourself." So I played Dope Man, Strata Compton, and then I did a serious edit on a reel-to-reel of F the Police. And, man, my request lines just blew off the hook. So they came up to Seattle, did an in-store appearance at a record store, and did a show at the Paramount Theater. It sold out, and the rest is history. And kind of like their way of thanking me, they asked me if I wanted to be on Eazy-E's new record. They said Eazy-E's going to come out with his own album. And then there was a song on there called Radio. I don't know if you guys remember that song called Radio. Well, it features Greg Mack in the beginning, which was kind of, I think, supposed to be my part, but I was on the road with Mix-a-Lot, so I couldn't record that part. They said, "Well, I'll tell you what, just do the ending part. All you got to do is say these lines, call us from a phone, and we're going to record it on our answer machine." So all I had to say was, "Hey, what's up? This is Nasty Ness calling from Seattle." And then I pause, and then I say, "Hey, I'm calling to be on Eazy-E's new record, Radio." And then that was it. And I go, "Man, ain't no one going to remember that part. That's the worst part. I'm at the very ending." He goes, "Well, you're going to be on his record." He goes, "Yeah, but man, ain't nobody going to feel that." And then who's Eazy-E? And next thing I know, oh my God, I wish I would have signed the contract. Because that went like multi-platinum. And then everyone remembers the ending, you know, and I go, "Oh, wow, it actually worked out perfectly, the very ending." Because what they did is they spliced in Dr. Dre's voice talking to me. And I go, "Wow, man, that's kind of historic." And then they even put my name on the 12-inch features, Greg Mack and Nasty Ness. And I go, "Wow." You know, if I would have known years later it was going to be big like that, man, I would have probably asked for like a percentage or something, but
right,
I know. I didn't know. I had no clue. Just like with Mix-a-Lot, I had no clue we're gonna go gold, platinum, and everything. You know, I remember throwing away boxes of Posse on Broadway vinyl, and if I would have kept it, I could have sold it on eBay, and I could have been richer than Jay-Z by now. But oh well.
Oh wow.
Okay,
yeah.
It's not, darling. Don't worry.
No,
okay.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I told you that those are the kind of stories I like, and I love the fact that, you're very specific, so it gives me an opportunity to create a visual, which is, you know, what we do, especially Virgo spirits. Big shout out to Virgos. He was also a Virgo, so he probably was doing the same thing. I can almost feel his energy across the phone, across the airwaves. Yeah,
nice.
But, you know, so I like stuff like that where you tell us how you guys met, where you were, what you were eating, what you were wearing, you know, what you did, what you feel, you know, and it's just like a whole experience. You take us on a journey because I think that that's what we're missing, Ness. I really, really do think that's what we're missing now because everybody is so anxious to tell you how they feel now, right? So nobody's really listening to each other anymore. And then also the conversations are short, that our attention span is short. Do you agree with that?
Well, let me put it to you like this. Okay, so we spoke about the Two Live Crew earlier. Well, we toured with them in Miami, and I told you, and back in those days, I was like in my early 20s maybe. So that was the old me. So I'll put it to you like this. My sex life was the best sex life when I toured with Two Live Crew, because the crowd, the groupies, was the best when it came to Two Live Crew. I'm not like that anymore, but back in those days, so I'm just kind of giving you an example. And then
Yeah.
Because I know Phil wants to know about my sex life,
yeah,
so I'm going to share it with you. Listen, you might want to puff some more. When we opened up for Too Short, it was like, man, I said, no way I'm going to get lucky tonight, because every girl in the audience were like thugs, and I've never seen thug girls like that from Oakland. And we never heard of Too Short yet. We didn't know who he was yet, but if you're from Oakland at the time, you know who he was. All I know is that he kept saying the B word, yeah, you know, he kept doing that, and I go, boy, this guy is a joke. And people like this stuff, and then all the girls there, man, they look like thugs. And man, like 8 months later, they were like he was like huge. I mean, he's a good friend of mine now, but back in those days, we didn't know who he was. And so those are a couple experiences that I definitely remember. Oh, I also got stuck on the elevator with
Hold up.
Yeah.
We didn't get a nasty story. We didn't get a nastiness story. Nope. I mean, pun intended. We didn't get a nasty story. How you going to talk about, you going to like this sex story? And then you just mulled right over it. You didn't tell us what your definition of a thug girl was. You didn't tell us, you know, how you got her, what you did to woo-woo-woo her. No, we're not going to just mull over that. We got time.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm trying to do the clean version because...
you can clean it up, but, you know, give us a little beat. Take us there.
Yeah, you introduced it, so I thought you knew.
Yes, he did. Look, he piqued our interest. Now we're like, okay, inquiring minds want to know.
Well... And with the Two Live Crew, okay, so it's in Miami back in those days, and it probably still the same. It's so easy to get a pound of cocaine. So if you add the cocaine with the Miami base to the groupies, one thing leads to another. And, you know, like that song, what's his name, Ludacris did, I got HOES in every area code.
Yeah,
that's kind of like what happened.
Song.
Oh, yeah, and I tell you, Miami, woo! If you watch Scarface back in the days and you see how the women look in there, yeah, it looks just like that. And but with Oakland, and I love Oakland, so no one from Oakland get mad at me. At that time, at this concert we did in the Shrine Auditorium, these girls just looked at me like they don't smile. They just look scary. And I was actually scared just the way they look, you know. It's not how they dress. It's just, man, they look scary. Get scared, you know. So, and in Detroit, too, I remember Detroit had thug girls there, man. Oh, they look scary, too, you know. But the Bay Area.
So, wait, did they scare you into the best sex you ever had? Or I'm missing.
Oh, no, I had zero sex in those markets, but the Bay Area was the best, because if you ever read Lowrider magazine, and you see all the models in there, the Lata Locas next to Lowriders, that's what they look like in the Bay Area. So that's where my best part of my life, I think, probably happened, was in the Bay Area. You know. Okay, so next question. What else you guys want to know?
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing. I definitely appreciate that. Yeah, now let's get into your career. This, again, is what Philo specializes in. He's going to talk to the listening audience, our loved ones, about your career, how you got started, and then bring us forward. But thank you so much for sharing with me. I appreciate you.
And I super uber appreciate you. Okay. You got me saying that. I'm going to make that really popular now. Everyone's going to say, yo, man, that's super uber. Where'd you get that from? Oh, I made it up myself. Yeah.
Well, we don't want to miss another trend like you did with NWA. So let's hold on to that, okay?
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
So basically, DJ Nasty Ness.
Yes, sir.
You came here to the States, and you got a chance to see one of the legends of the turntable, Mr. Grandmaster Flash.
Why don't you
tell the people, man, how was that? How did that inspire you to become who you are?
Well, you know, I've been on the wheels on the turntable since like maybe 1979, but I never did what Grandmaster Flash did. So I remember he came to Seattle early 80s, and he performed there, and I was the guy who MC'd the show as part of my radio show. I MC'd the show. And then I just remember he had two copies of Shannon, Let the Music Play, and he had two copies of Good Time by Chic, and he had two copies of Herbie Hancock, Rocket. And then what he did with each of those is like amazing. You know, it kept going, good times. And then he did Herbie Hancock, the beginning of the Rocket song. And then he would take Shannon, Let the Music Play, and Scratch. And just watching him do that, I was like, I've never seen that before. So I remember going home that night and going like for 3 or 4 hours till 6 in the morning, trying to do exactly what he was doing. And it was really hard, you know. I said, I'm not how he does that, you know. But, yeah, that really influenced me. Because I'm not a battle DJ, but, you know, I can do a few tricks. But, yeah, he really inspired me to do stuff like that. One thing I also remember was in his dressing room, and this is something I haven't shared with a lot of people, but I'm going to give you guys the exclusive. There's this little bottle. And inside the bottle was some cocaine in it. And then when you unscrew it, a spoon comes out. I go, wow, this belonged to Grandmaster Flash. So I was going to tell him that he left this little bottle of cocaine, but I was too scared to say anything. So I just took it home. And, isn't that a cool story?
Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah. Yeah. So check this out, man. By seeing Grandmaster Flash, like you said, you seen him mix those three songs, you know what I'm saying? Herbie Hancock, Good Times, you know what I'm saying? You was like, damn, that's dope. Never seen that before. So around 1980, you moved to the West Coast at this time, and you began a rap radio show called Fresh Tracks, which was the first ever rap radio show at this time, right, in Seattle? On K-Fox, right?
Wow, you really did your homework. Well, actually, I moved to the West Coast, to the States in 1970 from Okinawa and the Philippines, but my radio career really didn't start until I got my first paid job on a commercial station in 1980, and that was the birth of a show called Fresh Tracks. Fresh Tracks was originally a show that aired once a week that featured brand new music, not just rap, but R&B, et cetera. But I noticed people kept calling in. They wanted to hear the rap stuff a lot more. So my program director let me turn it into an all-rap type of show. There wasn't a lot of rap out there in those days, but it turned into an all rap show, because next thing I know, everyone had a rap record. It wasn't all good, but I just noticed I was able to fill in 2 hours. I mean, it started, I remember playing in the beginning days, I think it was Curtis Blow, Spoonie G, Treacherous 3, Funky 4 Plus 1. So probably a lot of your listeners don't even know who these people are. King Tim, and then, of course, came Run DMC, LL, Fat Boy, Disco 4, you know, and then, of course, Flash. But prior to all that, I think Sugar Hill Gang was the only rap record that really came out. but yeah, so 1980s was like pretty much when it all started, and that's when I started playing local music. And in 1983, a guy by the name of Sir Mix-a-Lot called me up on the request lines and told me about him, what he did, and not knowing we both went to the same high school. And I just really didn't believe that he really was a rapper, because back in those days, in the early 80s, hip-hop only came from the East Coast, New York. So it was really weird to hear a guy from Seattle or anyone from the West Coast say they're a rapper. But I went to see Mix-a-Lot perform with my partner Ed Locke, and I was amazed at what I saw. I said, wow, he's really real. And then we kept bumping into each other at events where we would make guest appearances. And I finally said to him, I said, hey, man, you should let me play one of your songs on my show. And that was the debut of me playing really local artists on my show. And his songs got more requests than a Madonna song, than a Michael Jackson song. And that's kind of what told me this guy is special. And so that's how the label Nasty Mix was formed. I think it came around 1985. And yeah, then we went gold, platinum, and kind of the rest is history. You know, this is way before Baby Got Back came out. This is Posse on Broadway, Beepers, My Hoopty, you know, right, songs Gore-Tex. Like that. Oh, yeah, Gore, okay, you remember that. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, man, see, this is interesting to me because I seen a video with you on Sway in the Morning, okay? Sway, you know, really gave you mad props, big ups, and really you're a pioneer, like, as far as DJing, man. You've been around, and you done broke a lot of records. So can you share with the listening audience, man, some of the records that you broke? Like you said, you got Sir Mix-a-Lot started with playing the local music, but can you just let our listening audience know how many records came through your hands that you broke, that you had, you know, had, that you, you know, had ties to?
Well, you know, I'm going to give you a short list of who I've broken on the radio, et cetera. And the people that don't believe me, they just got to come to my house and they'll see all the plaques on my wall. But to make a long story short, I've broken artists like Gangstar, Snoop Dogg, Tupac, Lords of the Underground, Wu-Tang, Big Pun, Sway and Tech, The Alkaholics, Bone Thugs and Harmony, Notorious B.I.G., Busta Rhymes, The Fugees, oh man, Loonies, Shaggy, Beatnuts, trying to remember here, Master Ace, E-40, Rakim, of course, N.W.A., Ronnie O, Joe Cooley, Egyptian Lover, 2 Live Crew. You know, I can go on and on, man, but that's kind of a lot right
there, right? Right, man. That's a long list, bro. And listen, I want to read a quote from Source Magazine that they wrote, and this was in '96, which said Ness, the staple of rap radio in Seattle would be the West Coast equivalent to New York's DJ Red Alert. And that's a big statement right there, bro.
I know.
That's a big statement right there. And you have had your hand, man, and a lot of records that came through, bro, to the point where you are known, man. You got a nice resume, a nice track record out there, DJ Nasty Ness.
you know, with Red Alert, you know, that is a compliment. And then whenever I go to New York and I run into him, I always get kind of starstruck because that's Red Alert. So I go, hey, Red, I don't know if you remember me. And he goes, come on now, Nasty Ness, how can I not? Are you serious? I know who you are. You know, I go, oh man, it just feels like a compliment because he's one of the very few who's really, really, he's really nice. I mean, he's a really honest, genuine, good person, you know? And yeah, he's a legend in hip hop. And to be compared to someone like that, man, that really, because I'm a real humble kind of guy, you know? I didn't used to be, but I'm very humble now. And yeah, when the Source magazine quoted that, I was like, oh man, Tito, give me a tissue. yeah, but thanks for bringing that up, man. Mm-hmm.
No problem. That you have to, because if anybody understands the rap game, you understand there was a few credible magazines out. You see what I'm saying? The Source magazine is one. You had Vibe magazine. You know, and then everybody bumped the Source because we was looking to see who was getting 5 mics. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Like here we are, like almost 40 years later, and I'm in One World magazine. Aren't they affiliated with you guys from the Bay Area? One World magazine, Jeff Kwan.
Yeah, right.
So I opened it up. I go, wow, man, it's still kind of nice to still kind of feel relevant, sort of. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's dope.
Hey, so I want you to do me a favor, man. While I got you here,
sure.
Let's talk about how important it is, because I do know you own an online national college rap radio. So how is it important? How important is it for these independent artists to get their music played on these type stations, opposed to trying to make terrestrial radio?
That's a good question. I'm going to give you the straight up answer. With college rap radio, college radio, you don't have to get permission to play what you want to play. You can play whatever you want to play. Most college radio stations, rap shows have the freedom to do that. And a lot of them, after 9 o'clock, you can play the uncensored version. So I fortunately have and still have a relationship with college radio since, 1985 or so. And I've kept contact with all these DJs, even and the new ones and some of the older ones. And, you know, so when you go to rapattacklives.com, LIVES, rapattacklives.com, you'll look at the charts, and all those records charting are all independent label records that you will not hear on commercial radio. Because commercial radio, you know, you got to play what they tell you to play. And it's really the same 15 records you hear all the time. You're hearing the same thing, you know. But if you notice, a lot of these artists, rap artists that are big on terrestrial radio now, they started with my DJs on college radio. It took a minute, but hey, you know, I guarantee you, if you had a record out, man, I can get my DJs to play it, and at least you're getting 1 or 2 plays a week compared to 0 plays on a commercial radio station. So college radio is so important. That's why if anyone is looking to get the record broken or played, you know, just hit me up. Just go to rapattacklives.com, and you'll see for yourself. And then at the end of the show, I'll give you my email address and my social media so you all can contact me if you need help.
So and for the independent artists out there listening right now who says, I got a hot single, I'm ready, this single, this is it, what advice would you give them for the next step? They got the hot single, it's mixed, it's mastered, they feel like it's ready to go, they just looking for the right hands to get it in. Would you say this? Go ahead.
Well, my part of the bargain is I have radio locked down on college radio. As far as merchandising and social media, all that other kind of stuff, you got to hire someone that does that. But my thing is to take your record get it to all my DJs. I have about maybe 150 of them. And then I also track them every week, get their feedback on the record. And then I get them to play the record, to chart the record. And then I have a conference call that I do twice a month. And on those calls, I will always invite an independent, unknown artist on the call, interview them, and then open it up to question and answer to all my DJs so they can get to know the artist. So, for example, gosh, back in the days, I've had P. Diddy on there. I've had Chris Brown. I've had Run DMC. I've been doing this for so long. So I've had groups on there that when they first came out, no one knew who they were, and now they're mm-hmm. blowing up, you know? So, yeah, that's a great way to start, at least with me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so radio, like the college radio, you say after 9 o'clock, the unedited version. So if someone was interested in submitting to you, is it best to submit a clean version and an explicit version?
I always submit a clean version. That's one thing I got to tell artists. You know, if you're really serious about your music and you want to get heard, not just on the streets, you want to get heard like through radio or whatever, always make sure you do a clean version. And you can do it one or two ways. You can take the bad language, the cuss word, and turn it backwards, or redo the song and change the words. But it's always safe if you have a record, you know you want to be a single, and do a radio edit. Because a majority of my college DJs, even though after 9 o'clock they can play uncensored, they would rather have the clean version, you know? So that's just my advice. Mm-hmm.
Right. Always, you hear that, artist. Always have a clean version. Your chances against getting played or getting your record spinned is greater by having a clean version. So, again, get a clean version. Get a clean version. Man, I'm really enjoying this DJ nastiness. just being honored to really have you here, man. Someone who's been in the game as long as you have, who's been around a lot of legends, a lot of A-list artists from Sir Mix-a-Lot to N.W.A. to Eazy-E to them all. You know what I'm saying? So being in L.A., man, are you still in L.A. now?
Yeah, I moved here like 1998 to become the rap editor for called Hits Magazine. Back in those days, it was like the kind of like the equivalent to Billboard Magazine. And then when they shut the rap department down, I decided to start my own thing with rapattacklives.com. That was the beginning of the online experience. My assistant at the time said, yeah, take it online. I guarantee you everything's going to go online, man. That's going to be the new thing in the future, you know, going on your computer and going online. And he was right. And but little did I know that when they started banning vinyl, getting rid of vinyl and CDs and all that, that the MP3 would take over. So it's kind of good and it's kind of bad. The good part about it is I can take your MP3, say you had a record out and it's on MP3, I can send it to 1,000 DJs with one push of the button. You know, the bad part about it is no one's going to buy a record because they got it for free. That's an MP3. Mm-hmm. Everybody can pretty much get music free, you know. That kind of hurt the industry a little bit, you know. So there's a good and bad sides to it, you know. But I'm cool. I try to adjust to change.
So I'm on the site right now, rapattacklives.com, which is what you just mentioned, what you started. And I wanted to know, how do you chart? Because I'm looking at the top 30, the top 30 college rap radio, and I see the list of 30. So how do you make this list? Because this has to be a significant list to be the top 30.
Yeah, basically it's through the DJs that report to me. Like I said, I have a little over 100 DJs. So out of those DJs, every week they send me their charts, or I talk to them over the phone, and they tell me, let's just say, what's the song out on the chart right now? Let's say Pure Order. They have a song called Prayer Warrior. Okay, so on everybody's chart, I look and see where that Pure Order song is on their chart. So if everyone mm-hmm. has in their top 10 on their charts, then immediately it's going to be a top 10 record. I predict that song is going to go number one this coming week. It's a really hot underground record, and they're also from Cali. So that's how I determine what goes up or down the charts.
Now, these artists that are on these charts, are they West Coast artists? Are they from all over?
They're from all over, man.
All over the world.
All over the world. New York, North Carolina. Not too many out of Cali, maybe one or two. But they're from all over. And that's what I like about the music that I promote. It comes from all over, you know. And matter of fact, I got a group right now that I'm promoting called Higher Brothers. And they're not even from the States, man. They're from Hong Kong, China. And their music is in Chinese, but they're so dope. Everywhere they perform in the States, it's sold out. Like in Houston, the House of Blues, it's sold out. Seattle, at the Showbox mm-hmm. Theater, they sold out. So that kind of shows you the power of hip-hop, you know. A couple other artists. I got artists out of Tacoma, Washington. Well, Seattle, Washington, my hometown. Chevy Shan. But his single features the guy from Next, the group Next, RL.
Right.
It's really dope, you know, to hear RL and Chevy Shan together. And I think that's in the top 10 on my chart. I've also got Bay Area, artist by the name of Critta. And he's making noise. He was on the Sway Show a couple of times. And then later on, when Valerie comes on, when she Super Uber comes back on, I'll talk about the High Children.
Okay. Dope. Right now, let's go ahead and bring Valerie back in.
Hey, Valerie. All right, Valerie.
You're so silly. Yeah, I have someone who wants to say hello to you with just as much energy. Welcome, 650-273, 650-273. You are live.
What's good, Ness? This is Jeff Kwan.
Hey, Jeff Kwan. I was just talking about the Higher Brothers, man. They speak Chinese. You relate to them, aren't you?
Oh, you know, we're all the same. We all look the same. You know, we talk the same.
What's up,
Jeff? I just got a quick minute. I just want to appreciate the time for you to call in. I got to go to my appointment right now. I'll talk to you later.
Oh, no problem. Okay, all right, Jeff. Okay.
Bye.
See how Asians are? They're always on a rush. They're always on the move. They never take time out. But look at me. I took time. I took 60 minutes
took
out of my
time
life
out.
For you
we
guys.
We appreciate that. Definitely. But you better be careful with that word, Asian, though.
Oh, no, it's all good, man. It's Asian. You know what? Everybody says, Ness, you're Filipino. You're Asian Pacific Islander. I go, I don't care. I'm Asian Oriental Pacific Islander or Filipino. I'm Filipino. I don't care. it's all good. Asian is fine. It's not a bad thing.
Philip said. So wait, are you saying agent, A-G-E-N-T, or did you respond to something
Asian.
Philip said?
A-S-I-A-N.
Oh, my bad.
You know what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I said.
No,
I
was referring to what you said earlier when you said I was one of the first agents. Like A-G-E-N-T. Early on.
No, that's what I thought.
No,
you've been watching
Get Smart. But the
whole
time you've been saying Asian. Oh.
Yeah, duh.
I was talking about lumpia. That's what I was talking about.
You said lumpia?
You
know? Did you say lumpia?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I said I want some lumpia. That's what I said.
Oh, my God. See, Valerie, see what you're missing out on? Lumpia.
I
want a picture of Valerie eating lumpia. All right.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right. So I'm from Miami. I'm not the thug girl per se. But yeah, you already talked about my girl so bad. I don't know.
No. Picture of you eating lumpia is not thuggish at all. I get your social media numbers will go really high.
Oh, okay.
I just want a picture of it in your mouth. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I need to behave myself. All right.
All right.
Okay. Hey,
yeah.
If you'll help me, man.
I explained to Philip. I said when I was in Germany, ironically, I met a female. She was African American. Her husband was Spanish, and she told me, "You haven't lived until you've had lumpia." And I, much like I did today, I mistook her for what she said, because I thought she said something like, I don't know, for some reason I was thinking like lymph nodes or, you know, disease or something. I couldn't quite understand. She had a little bit of a lisp. So it didn't come across the way, you know, and it definitely didn't come across it and didn't, you know, appeal to my taste buds, because I was like,
so
what?
You thought she said, well, Valerie, you haven't lived life unless you had syphilis. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I thought she was like, because, you know, where were we? She's a dental assistant. And when I met her, I came to get my teeth clean. It was just all bad timing and everything. But anyway, we ended up becoming very, very good friends. And she taught me how to make lumpia. And then
I'm a
spring roll girl. Huh?
Oh, spring. Okay, so you already know what it is.
Yeah,
okay.
I love
okay.
spring roll.
Lumpia is better.
Yeah,
Lumpia is better.
Yeah, that's what I shared with Philip. I was like, yeah, you're 100% correct. Because I fell for that. And then they're so tiny, you know what I mean? And so before you know it, it's like a great
well, of
snack.
Course.
You could sit there and just gain weight.
That's right. Never mind. You didn't even get that joke. Never mind.
Okay, throw it back to me. Hey, no pun intended. We know we're talking about the high children here in just a second. So, yeah, just throw it back to me. What was the joke?
No, nothing. You just said the lumpia, the spring roll, was so tiny, and I said, "Well, of course, it's Asian." But never mind. Okay, well, go ahead. Next.
Oh my God! See
what?
Now look.
What?
Now you're gonna get. This is definitely gonna go viral, and people are gonna be all over us. And they're gonna. Well, they're not gonna be over you, because they would understand. You know what I mean? Like they get it. But yeah, if I laugh at that.
You can laugh at it. It's all good. I have no shame in my game.
They'll be like
you
all
know?
Over me. But yeah, that was
Asian.
Like a super cute, super uber cute joke. Yeah. So
super
we'll stick
uber.
With that,
that
word.
That was a super uber. Yep. There
super
you go.
Uber. Yeah. There you go. Definitely that. Where did your name come from? Did you? I don't think I asked you that.
Which one?
How'd you become
Nest
DJ Nasty? Nest. Because you didn't really get nasty in the beginning. Not my Florida version of nasty. So how did
well,
you
everyone,
get nastiness?
No. Yeah, it's not what you really think it came from. But back in the late 70s, you know, because I'm a martial artist, so the phrase back then when I used to do the spinning kicks and high kicks, they go, "Man, that guy's nasty." And I used to work them out when we worked out.
Oh.
And go, God. Then they said, "Well, man, nasty Nestor." Because I was Nestor back then, so they called me Nasty Nestor. But I shortened it to Nest,
because
when I was on the radio, I said Nasty Nestor. They kept thinking I was saying Mr. Ness, or they thought I was saying Mr. And I said, no, I'm only like 18 years old. I don't want to be referred to as Mr. So I shortened it to Ness. But my original nickname was Crazy Pinoy, which meant Crazy Filipino, because I was kind of crazy back then, but I reformed, and yeah, that's how I got the name, Nasty Ness.
So what caused the transformation? You actually helped me segue into something else, because I wanted to talk to you about Bruce Lee, but what caused this new transformation? You eating healthy, and you don't curse, you know, anymore. You don't, you know, you're not out fornicating the way that you did. So, yeah, what caused that transformation?
Well, you know, spending many years partying, you know, they talk about rock stars party. Well, rap artists do the same thing, too. And I think it's kind of worse with me because I just overindulge. You know, many years of smoking cigarettes, many years of drinking, because everyone gives you free drinks, many years of snorting, all that, you know, when I was in my 40s, I was still fine. I felt fine. But, you know, I guarantee you, everybody, if you're doing that, especially smoking, please stop, because it's going to catch up to you. And the next thing I know, you know, I had a mild heart attack. So I'm on medication every day. And then the mild heart attack from all that bad eating, from eating fast food, turned into diabetes too. So now my feet are numb. It's like, oh, man, what's going on, you know? But, you know, I take responsibility for everything I've done. And then plus things that I've gone through, you know, I had a disastrous first marriage. I lost my kids to my ex-wife's grandparents over lies, which still haunts me to this day. But, you know, one thing I've learned is becoming a Christian, giving my life to the Christ back in 2010, is to learning to forgive. And that's one thing I had a hard time doing back then, is learning to forgive. So once you learn how to forgive and just act like Christ-like to everyone, it really changes how your heart reacts. You know, so there are people in Seattle, I remember back in the days, they should just cuss them out, call them all kinds of names. But I've said I'm sorry to a lot of people, especially to a lot of women that I've hurt over the years, you know. You know, I've told them I'm sorry if I did this and that, and it feels a lot better. So there's like maybe one or two people I'm trying to find and apologize to, especially in high school. I pulled a knife on this kid, and I stuck a butcher knife to his throat, and I was threatening him, but I really wasn't going to do nothing. But I got kicked out. I got kicked out for doing that, and I'm just thinking now, I wonder how that affected his life all these years later, you know? It probably played a bad part on his emotions, man. You know, I don't even know what happened to him. So if I could find that guy and tell him I'm sorry, that would mean the world to me. And so that's kind of what happened and why I've changed. I think, you know, when you get older, you either get more mature or you go totally opposite and go schizo. But I think for the best, I went the right way, you know? I think so.
Yeah. I want to definitely slow it down here for a second, because I believe in teachable moments, right? And you said a lot. Like, that's what you just said was very, very loaded. I do a show on Mondays, and it is all about domestic violence. And I think that a lot of people think once a monster, always a monster. And me, people in my intimate circle know my story. I grew up around a lot of domestic violence, so I know what it looks like. And I fight daily, you know, not to even respond or have a temper because of it. It's certain things that I don't do, like play fight, you know, wrestle, play wrestle that you would do, just certain things. So it kind of like, I don't want anything to lend itself to that because it mirrors something, you know, that I experienced. But you have people on both sides, and I think in what you just said, there's a message there. One, you know, to the survivors and or victims, and also to people who think that they can't stop. And I think that you have something, I'm feeling it in my spirit, you have something that you can say to people, male and female, who are participants of domestic violence and take pride in that. And at this time, I'd like to give you a moment to, you know, to say what's on your heart right now. Do you know what I mean? I just feel in my spirit somebody's listening and they could use what you're about to say.
Oh, man, I appreciate that. Well, you know, I would love to be on your Monday show. I'll put it to you like this. I spent almost 2 years in anger management. I was in there. I had to go under the law. I had to go to anger management for about a year. And when the course was over, I asked them if I could stay because I really wanted to control my temper. So I changed. But, you know, I think growing up in the household, I just remember hearing my dad beat up my mom. I remember hearing that. Growing up on the streets, I just remember some of my best friends were pimps and how they would treat their women. I thought it was cool to do that, you know. And then my, when I told you I had a disastrous first marriage, well, that was full of domestic violence. You know, I went to jail a couple of times from hitting her, but she hit me too, but I shouldn't have hit her. But I tell you, you know, when you talk about pushing people's buttons, oh man, I had the worst temper around, you know. And I remember kicking her when she was pregnant with my first kid. And yeah, so yeah, I'm good now. Everybody says I'm a teddy bear now, but you can change if you really want to change. And I really wanted to change. And yeah, if I could get a spot on your Monday show and share my experience, I might be able to touch someone's life, you know. And yeah, it can be cured, just like doing drugs. I've overcome a whole bunch of things in my life, and if I can do it, you can do it.
Yeah, and I appreciate you sharing that, and I definitely want to get back to your career and your resume, because there's so much that we haven't touched on, and I want to take the next 10, 15 minutes to do that before we wrap. But I appreciate you saying that, because I truly believe, again, people are anxious to make America great again, and I don't think we necessarily know what that means. And I think that because there's so much propaganda and there's so much going on via social media, that is very important. Philip and I watched Netflix over the phone last night, and we were watching this video called Feel Good. Feels Good. Is that the title of it, Philip? I think it's called Feels Good or Feel Good. I can't remember. But
no, Feel
Rich.
Russell
Simmons. Feel Rich. That's it.
It's called Feel Rich.
Feel Rich.
Who's it by?
Yeah. Okay, so
Quincy
I'll have
Jones.
To get back to you.
Quincy Jones.
There we go.
Quincy Jones.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think there was a lot in it, because I think that what we learned and the discussion we had after and actually during is when you hear these rappers and they're instructed, you know this, instructed to present a certain way. And it was really refreshing to know that a lot of them are purists. You know what I mean? Like, they're not about that life. They do that to sell, get views, do whatever, get more downloads, what have you. But then they're really not like that. So we are trying to use shows like today to show balance. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm the first to allow bass music to attack my lower chakras and dance, because I love to dance. I love hood dance. You know what I mean? Like, I was in a lot of different videos. I love to dance, but it wasn't me. You know what I mean? I didn't succumb to that. So it was just, I think that a lot of people, because we're downloading our information, Ness, I think that it's very important that we hear from people like you who have a resume that is so, you know, broad and can touch so many people on so many levels, but also it's underlined with so much authenticity, you know, and you're just real. People need to be real. But getting back to the Netflix thing, in it we learned you need to meditate, you need to eat right, you need to take moments out for yourself. I like how you presented like bucket lists of sorts, where you were saying I got people on the list and I need to say thank you to them. I think that that's important, because people don't understand that when you forgive, you don't have to forget, but when you forgive or you apologize for something, you're free of that. And so then you're allowed to, you know, you open yourself up to more blessings. And that's why you've been so blessed in your career, because you've just, you know what I mean? Like, you've been so real and you went through the process, whatever that was, and you know, I'm definitely not patting you on the shoulder for kicking your girl when she was pregnant, but I'm thankful that you said, hey, you know what, I was a bad boy then, and I'm not, and I'm doing better, and you admitted that. A lot of people can't do that, so I applaud you for that, and I was hoping that while I was talking, I could actually find the applause button, because we are known for our sound bites over here, but that was just definitely deserving of an applause, so I will definitely give you one
of the time. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeyou know, I was thinking, if I stopped doing what I'm doing now, what else would I do in life? And I said, you know what, I wonder if there's a venue where I can speak to people and make a living out of that. And, you know, I really don't know how to go about doing that, but I love getting in front of an audience and sharing my story, because whenever I talk to people about my stories, they always tell me you should write a book. And I said, yeah, I hate writing, but, yeah, I'm kind of doing that slowly. But I really would like to just get behind a mic in front of a big crowd and talk to them, you know, kind of like Joel Osteen does, you know, to his people, do the same thing, but share more about domestic violence, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's very, very important. But I think your podcast, your stories, you doing interviews like this, you know, going out, I'd rather versus somebody writing it down. Just be a walking version of their life. You know what I mean? Like, this is immortal. Lives has been immortalized for, you know, so it's like it'll be out there in the ether forever and ever. I'm in, like your picture that you didn't like on the flyer. Hint, hint, hint. But, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, but it's out there forever. And so, yeah, so I think it's very important that you just keep talking. You just keep talking.
Okay.
And I appreciate that.
But you think I should put it in writing, like in a book, you think? You think that's really important?
I think you should do both, but, you know, but
both.
Keep talking. I'm just saying, like, some people say, oh, I'm saving all the juicy stuff for the book. No, I think you should use the book, you know, to be more vivid or elaborate on something. But tell the story because it's possible it could touch someone right then. You know what I mean? Like, somebody dies every 4 seconds just as somebody is born, right? But also, as I study domestic violence, I realize every 4 minutes someone is getting their butt beat. You know what I mean?
Wow.
While we're talking, several women have gotten their butt, and I don't want to just say women, domestic violence has occurred several times over. So I'm saying tell your story and scream it and shout it. And don't hold everything for the book. Give us some of it, because we save lives today during this show, in this, you know, during this moment. That's what I'm saying.
And Valerie, one of the main things I can say, DJ Ness, to commend you, that I want people to take away from it, is that you didn't change overnight. You said that you went to anger management for 2 years, and when it was time to leave, you asked to stay. So you wanted to ensure that you was right, and you know you didn't do it by yourself. You went and sought other things, other rituals to do different that you wasn't doing prior to. So that's a key point. I want people to take away that. Go get some help, period. And then that's point blank, period. If you're going through it, go get some help. There's nothing wrong with it. Actually, you're more of a man, you're more of a woman to go get some help, because that's you saying that I have something that I need to deal with, and you're making a choice to go deal with it. So I commend you for that, and that's what I want people to hear from it, that it wasn't an overnight process. You actually sought out, got some help, and chose to better yourself.
Okay, cool, man. Thanks, man. Sounds good.
Yeah, definitely. And I just want to, again, thank you again for saying that. And also, before we close, I wanted to give a shout-out to your resume, because I want people to definitely go to your website, also refer to different excerpts that was presented during this interview, but also, too, go to your IMDb page. Also, you've got your resume on actorsaccess.com, which is where I am right now, and I'm just going to take a second to give you some accolades for your film career, your music videos, you as a host, radio, and the various awards. So real quick, Mr. 6'4", hair length shaved, eyes brown, but he doesn't like to share them in photos. So big ups to him, who has been in House Party 4, Little Heroes, Kung Pao, Purgatory House, ER, Romantically Challenged, FedEx, Dead Season, Luck, which was on HBO. Then it's music videos. Let's give shout out to those. Hollywood, Spies Like Us, Posse on Broadway, Iron Man, Beeper, Swap, Meet Louie, Radio, starring the late Eazy-E. And then as a host, he's been on Hip Hop Show, Cool Out Network, KCMU, Rap Attack, Yo MTV, Ion Seattle, BET Rap City, and then the awards that I will end with, and then toss it back to Philip. Legendary Award from 2007 to 2008, and then so many afterwards. College Radio Promoter, which we mentioned, the Urban Network Certificates of Excellence, the Jimi Hendrix Lifetime Achievement Award, and I mean the thing just goes on and on.
Really,
and
I did
on
all that.
On. So
you sure you're reading my?
Yeah,
my,
right.
Is that mine? Not me.
That's you, the
wow.
Bodybuilder, the kickboxer, the weightlifter, the disc jockey, the voiceover, the guy with the phenomenal Asian accent, all that. Yes. Yes,
oh yeah,
yes.
I have the
Matt,
I have a good
you.
Accent. I know the Asian accent. But hey, real quick, my Facebook is at Nasty
Ness.
No,
do your
Facebook.
Asian accent and your social media.
Oh,
go on.
On my Facebook, it's at Nasty Ness, only one S in Ness. And on the IG, which is Instagram, it's at Nasty Ness 818. Not eating eight, like the number eight. Nasty Ness 818, one S in Ness. That's my Instagram, okay? Okay. Okay, go ahead. Finish it, Valerie and the other guy. I forgot his name.
You took me back because you sounded like the guy who I used to buy my hair from. And he'd be like,
oh,
yeah? You look really good in 1B. You 1B, girl. You 1B.
Oh, you're very, very pretty. Valerie, you're so pretty. I love you, Valerie. Ooh, even your voice is pretty. I like you,
Valerie.
Oh,
my gosh. Thank you so much.
I love you already. No, I love you.
But I'm gonna love you harder if you let me use that picture more, because I thought that was a beautiful player. But you want me
I
to
don't
use
think
the cartoon.
I love you. Yeah, use the cartoon one. Hey, are you still going to play My High Children record? That's
I
what
am.
I really
I'm about
end it
to
with.
Play that, yeah. I want to give you and Philip a last go round to love on each other.
Okay.
And anything that we missed, because I interjected quite a few times. I apologize for that. But I just wanted to give him a chance because, like I said, he's the music guru, so I definitely depend on him to
yes.
to cover
stay
all the bases.
Stay in your lane, Valerie.
Exactly.
Stay in your lane.
Exactly. My
all
super
right.
uber lane. Exactly.
Okay, so
Philo?
Quiet now. Yeah, Philo, talk now.
Yeah. No, I just, basically, Valerie, I enjoyed the show, man. I really enjoyed it. I think we hit any key points, and at this time, I want you to just give any final words, man, you may have, anything that you want to get out at this time, any shouts out, any thank yous, anything you may want to get out. You got it. Let's get it.
Oh, man. Gee, there's so many people I could thank. It'll just take another hour. But I just want to say I'm just blessed and just to still be relevant. You got to remember I started this in 1980 and it's 2019. And to still be around doing this, when I moved to the States, I was like, they called me fresh off the boat. I was fat, chubby, made fun of. People made fun of my eyes, the way I dressed. I got picked on all the time. And if it wasn't for my Sifu Taki Kimura, from Bruce Lee's Jun Fan Kung Fu Institute. I started there when I was 13 years old. Sifu Taki was my father figure, and he really instilled in me kind of like Bruce Lee's philosophy and how to treat others and become more confident in yourself. You know, when I took classes there, it wasn't about learning how to beat someone up, but it was about learning how to become a strong man, defend yourself, of course, but the philosophies of Bruce Lee. And if it wasn't for Sifu Taki Kimura, I owe a lot of my success to him because we didn't have really role models back in those days. It was Muhammad Ali was my only role model, and then Bruce Lee came along, and then that became my role model. So I only really had two role models growing up. It was Bruce Lee, Muhammad Ali, well, actually three, my teacher, Sifu Taki Kimura. And I'll end it like that. We need role models. We need men to lead our kids, you know, and even women too. Props to women.
Right. Indeed. So go ahead and get that contact information again, man, just in case those understanding in the Asian voice. Go ahead and get contact information.
Social media. Well, real quick, my Gmail, it's real easy. It's nastiness818@gmail.com. And then Facebook, you can catch me on there at Nasty Ness, one S in Ness. And on my Instagram at Nasty Ness 818. Simple as that, you know, and then go to my website, rapattacklives.com, and then you'll see the true, real hip-hop on there, the underground, independent, unsigned artists that want to shine. And hopefully I can see you on there, too, that are listening and help you out, all right?
Indeed, indeed. So before we get into this throwback by the High Children, I am Philo the Great. I enjoy this interview, man. Nastiness, I enjoyed you coming through, man. You come through any time, and I will get with you later, man, regarding the college radio for any artists who come my way, who are looking to probably get some exposure out there on the West Coast. So all my loved ones, you already know what time it is. Get with it or quit it. Barbecue and me will do some weird, some won't, some do, some don't. I can be reached on all social media platforms, Philo the Great. That's P-H like phone, E-L-O-T-H-E-G-R-E-A-T. Now, you don't like it, you got two choices always. Check it or respect it. Gone. Valerie.
All right, all right. Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys for tuning in today. This has definitely been a big, big exclusive. Yes, 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 yes. DJ Nasty Ness in the house. I am Valerie Denise Jones. You can find me at ValerieDeniseJones.com and my new website, MS, ValerieDeniseJones.com. But we are here every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We go way back. We talk hip-hop and everything else on this channel. We're also here on Wednesdays, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We talk about hemp and cannabis and movies and everything that celebrates that. And Friday, we hang out with the one and only Judge Joe Brown. Court is in session every Friday at 4 p.m.
Wow.
Eastern Standard Time. Yeah, we definitely got to get you on there so you can hang out with him. I'll check your schedule.
I see videos of him.
Because he'll enjoy you.
You look kind of scary, too, man.
You and the scary thing.
Especially when he's
scary
drinking.
Easily, I see. Oh, my God. Did you just say that? Oh, my God.
Anyway, go ahead.
You are funny.
I'm
going to
stay in my lane.
Kind of guy.
I'm staying in my lane.
All right. Well, speaking of staying in lanes, I'm going to stay in my and allow you to introduce the High Children, the song Throwback. So I'm going to fall back.
All right.
And let you
okay,
introduce
here we
it,
go.
And then we're going to play it.
Okay, so real quick, peace, love, and hip-hop unity. Marami salamat sa inyo lahat, to everyone listening. That's a Tagalog for thank you, everyone. So here we go in my voice. Hey, everybody, here comes new music from the High Children. This is called Throwbacks.
Up in my mixtape, up in the boombox. To all my homegirls and all my homeboys, pump up the bands and make some noise. Give me the throwback, so I can go back. We need those throwbacks, so we can go back.
It was all a dream. I used to read What Up magazine. Cash was everything around me. Cream, hit me, throw back like a frisbee. And everybody in the club get tipsy. Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger. I was with the bartender, but now I'm in love with a stripper. In the place to be, saying biggie, 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 can't you see? Wow, 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 you be yo, you be day. Ain't nothing but a G-thing, baby. Stay shook, cause ain't no such thing as halfway crook. Scared to death and scared to look. Mama said, knock you wow. Can I kick it? Yes, you can. Shimmy, shimmy, y'all, shimmy, yeah, shimmy, yay. Hey. I gotta say it was a good day.
Fresh dressed like a million bucks. Pop in my mixtape, pop in the boombox. To all my homegirls and all my homeboys. Pump up the band and make some noise. Give me the throwback, so I can go back. We need those throwbacks, so we can go back. Back in the day.
Michael Jackson was the king. Prince George Michael, Madonna was
the
queen. Fat gold chain, starter jacket. 12-inch dubs in your ride, causing racket. Dance floor, hammer pants, running man, Roger Rabbit, moonwalk, the hump again. Jazz jeans, band, Air Jordans, Run DMC, mixtape, skateboarding. Stop! Hammer time, y'all gon' make me lose my mind. Hammer though, PPK, yeah, you know me. Saying whoop, whoop, that's the sound of the police. This is how we do it. blow the whistle, you can do it, put your back into it, lean back. I'll make it rain on them hoes, from the window to the wall. Let's go.
Cash dressed like a million bucks, pop in my mixtape, pop in the boombox, to all my homegirls and all my homeboys, the pump up the jam, and make some noise. Fresh dressed like a million bucks, pop in my mixtape, pop in the boombox, to all my homegirls and all my homeboys, the pump up the jam, and make some noise. You need a throwback, so I can go back.
All right, guys, that was the High Children. Throwback. CeeLo, how you feeling? Because we're about to wrap and bid everybody adieu. Just doing a little pulse check over there. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling real, real good. I want to let the people know, too, man. Go check out the video. They got a video for it that really is dope. You will get more out the video. The lyrics are dope, but it really goes well with the video. So go check out the video. I recommend everybody, especially the millennials, man. A lot of the millennials now don't understand, like, the throwback, don't pay homage. It's easy to get into this music game now with social media. And so a lot of the young, aspiring rappers coming up don't know about the old school rappers who paved the way, who opened the door for them to be able to do what they do today. So that is a homage song, a song full of homage by the High Children, throwbacks, paying homage to all the throwbacks, all the artists who came before the artists right now. So they're super dope. Shouts out to the High Children, man, with throwbacks out there doing their thing. So y'all go check out the video, man. It is a video out there on YouTube. So type in the High Children. That's H-I-G-H, Children, and the name of the song is Throwback. So y'all go check that out, dope song.
Yeah, definitely. Did you want to, before we leave, did you want to talk about anything, any hip-hop news? Did you have a comment regarding Jay-Z's latest accomplishment? He is a billionaire, and I got a chance to watch a video.
Well, my personal opinion, man, shouts out to Jay-Z. I got to take my hat off to him to stay on the grind and to accomplish that. No matter what people say, no matter what haters may say, naysayers, whatever we want to call them, that is an accomplishment that most, not only people, but most black people would never see or ever see. So, man, I take my hats off to the brother, and I hope he keep doing what he's doing. Dre too, though. Dre is right there. Dre right there with him. So those two brothers, man, for them to be in the game as long as they have been in the game, man, again, I take my hats off to them for the power moves they have made, especially Jay-Z, for Forbes to name him the first official billionaire in hip-hop. So shouts out to you, Jay-Z, from Big Media, Boss Radio Live, and CeeLo the Great. You heard?
Yeah, and I also wanted to tell you that today is National Rosé Day. They have some recipes, 35 delectable cocktails and bottles of rosé. Have you ever drank rosé? I've never drank anything, so you can't ask me.
I never drank rosé. I guess we're calling a normal hood dude, man. You know, Bud Light, Corona, things like that. And you get your typical top shelf liquors like the cognacs and the vodkas. But as far as the champagnes, such as the rosés, and you know, I never been a big champagne guy. No Cristal, no Ace of Spades. Speaking of Jay-Z, I just ain't never, you know, got down. But I can say Dose, you know, his cognac is a dope cognac. So Dose is a dope cognac. So other than that, man, you know, I just don't do the champagne, so I can't speak much on the champagne.
Yeah, All right. Well, I wanted to leave people with that in case they are feeling extra. Again, it's National Rosé Day. Today is June 8th, and everybody around the world is celebrating. So I wanted to share a recipe with our listening audience. It's called Ginger and Jasmine Cocktail. And you will need a third cup of simple syrup, 8 slices of fresh ginger, 6-ounce room temperature steeped jasmine tea, 3 ounces of vodka, which is optional, 1.5 ounces of fresh lemon juice, and a general splash of Santa Margarita Sparkling Rosé. And then all you got to do is find somebody to muddle, cuddle it. And that's it. Sip and enjoy Netflix. And definitely go and watch that video that CeeLo and I watched last night called Feel Rich. What's it? Feeling Rich. I don't know why I can't get Feeling Good out of my head. Yeah. But yeah, man, that's it. We're on tomorrow, Wednesday, every Wednesday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so what you got in store for us? You got any new strands that you'd like to introduce real quick before we wrap?
Yeah, the first strand of the Indica family is Three Bears OG. So you got Three Bears OG. That is a strain I'd like to introduce to you. So if you're an Indica lover, then try out some Three Bears OG. Please make sure that you are of age to do it. I'm not condoning anyone to smoke or participate in cannabis who is not of age to or illegally. But I am telling you, if you are in those states where recreational is legal, walk into your local dispensary, ask them if they carry the strain, Three Bears OG, which is a straight-up indica strain. All right?
All right, guys, that is it. We are out of here, and we hope and pray that you join us on social media. CeeLo the Great is always live on his YouTube page as well as his Facebook. And like he said, he is CeeLo the Great on all social media, so he shouldn't be hard to find. Have a great rest of the day, and remember this number, 929-477-1167. We'll see you tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then again Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Good night. We out.
We're always interested in what you have to say about our live broadcasts.
Please share your comments on our Facebook page or websites.
Attention, friends, family, and loved ones. Welcome to Hemp Day Live, hosted by the celebrity consultant, Valerie Denise Jones, and cannabis critic, CeeLo the Great. Join us every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Call in. Join the conversation. 929-477-1167.
Yes, Aya.
Everything is Irie. Now let's welcome your host.
Okay. Good night.